This is Dairy Rewind, a look back at what happened this week in the dairy industry. Monday.
Lucas University of Wisconsin Emeritus Professor Dr. Robert Kropp and Dr. Mark Stevenson state in their latest podcast that dairy markets are prepared to move up a bit and then retreat in the absence of any strong evidence that milk supplies are tightening or demand is picking up. Do you agree? What do the fundamentals say to you?
Yeah, it's certainly an interesting time of year, Lee. Last week we didn't have any major reports released, but there was some lowering prices in the markets from what we saw, likely responding to the prior week cold storage report that was fairly bearish for both cheese and butter. Dr. Kropp's estimate of slightly higher prices, there is some potential for that to happen. We could see some seasonal jump here before the end of the holiday demand season, but overall fundamentals, for the most part, continue to look fairly bearish for markets after the holiday season and into the new year.
Lucas Fees, Director of Dairy Market Intelligence with High Ground Dairy in Chicago.
Tuesday.
Healthy and productive transition cows is our topic. And joining us fresh off a herdsperson's workshop on the subject is Dr. Tom Overton, professor and director of Pro Dairy at Cornell. He recently shared a 10-point checklist for managing transition cows.
Yes, some of the points that we really talked about during this program that think transition success requires really good management in a lot of different areas of the farm, and whether it relates to diet formulation, feeding management done every day at the farm, you know, protocols and employees and how they work with fresh cows. I think it also comes back to, you know, facilities and grooming management and things like that. So it doesn't need to be complicated. In other words, in my world in the Northeast, typically we're looking at corn silage, straw, or, you know, maybe mature grass hay and a grain mix formulated to meet your needs. And at the same time, as long as it's prepared well from a feeding management standpoint, mixing standpoint, it can be pretty straightforward and lead to nice results overall.
Wednesday.
We talk with Dr. Ryan Leiterman from Crystal Creek. And Ryan, during the winter cold months, why is it calves in hutches are healthier than calves in barns? And what can be done to remedy that?
Imagine calves in outdoor hutches. They step outside of that hutch in the winter. They have an infinite volume of fresh air around them to breathe, and they stay healthy. Winter ventilation, in my opinion, should not be about limiting the volume of fresh air we put into the barn. It needs to be about controlling the speed. That's the problem when it's cold. And that's what I think our industry really needs to separate. Farmers say, well, I don't want too much air in the barn in the winter. What they really mean is they don't want their calves to be exposed to drafty air speeds. Drafts in cold weather are bad. But that's air speed. So what we've been doing at Crystal Creek for the last 2.5 years is we've been experimenting with higher volume during winter ventilation, but doing it with very, very slow air speeds.
Thursday.
Well, you know, I would say as far as dairy, you know, a couple of challenges that have occurred over time. Obviously, there's a lot fewer dairy farmers. When I started working in dairy in 2000, there was 120-some thousand dairy farmers. Now there's fewer than 50. Consumer attitudes about dairy have shifted a little bit. They've shifted, you know, more to cheese and less to fluid milk. And then all of this against the backdrop of a pricing system that makes it a challenge. So to bring all those regional interests together and try to put them through one filter on Capitol Hill with decision makers is a real challenge.
But it seems like there has been a little bit of progress with some of the insurance programs that are out there.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, the one thing I would say is just think, for example, in this last farm bill. What's the one thing that always holds up the farm bill year in and year out? Dairy. But not this year, right? I mean, this year the producers and the processors were able to come together and find some agreements.
Mike Torrey with Michael Torrey Associates, who works with Dairy Edge.
Friday.
Check in with Dr. Mike Hutchins, who's looking to the feed future and the anticipation of the 2019 corn silage hybrid.
And while you listeners may think this is a bit early, a lot of people are going to be starting to receive information about hybrids to select from their seed corn dealers here and be ordering for next year. Corn silage becomes a really big factor because it has become one of the primary forage sources here in the United States and really drives energy content of the ration. And we get that energy from two sources, Bill. We get it from a starch level, and we also get it from a digestible fiber that in the feeding program. Take-home message, review which hybrids are going to be available there, and then determine in your mind what you should be looking for in your criteria for selecting those. Besides nutrient content yield, we also ought to be looking at such things as degree day or maturity days and disease pressure.
And that's Dr. Mike Hutchins. To listen to more, go to DairyRadio.com.
Dairy Rewind.